Here we go. What is going on, champ? I appreciate you doing this. What an honor.
How you doing? Yeah, just chilling, man.
Does it ever get old to be called champ?
Nah, that never gets old.
What's cooler, being on the cover of Ring Magazine or being in a video game? Because you were in the Fight Night video game. Which is cooler?
I think both. Both is cool.
Flint, Michigan guy, born and raised. I'm a New York City guy. We have pizza and bagels. That's what we're known for. What's the one food from Michigan that you crave the most when you're not home?
Man, what is that? I don't even know. Honestly, I change everything, change my whole diet, so I wouldn't even know. It's that Michigan don't have like a certain type of food. We just eat.
Back when you were fighting, champ, what was your first cheat meal? So I know you eat healthy and clean. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But when you finished a great camp, you just had a huge win. What's your first cheat meal? What's your go-to meal after a big fight?
Man, I can't even say. I ate so much junk. Honestly, to try to stay at heavyweight, I didn't even have that kind of meal afterwards. I just ate everything.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned eating healthy a second ago. First of all, you look great with the beard. I'm proud of you. You're healthier than ever. I went on your Instagram, and I saw you're into cooking now, but you're really into it. You became knowledgeable about nutrition, the importance of it. When did that passion come about? Because I'm like that with food, too. So when did that passion come about?
2017.
And what happened then?
I was sick for 11 and a half years, bad.
Oh.
Like, I was bad. Hip replacement. I need both my shoulders replaced, both my hips replaced. I had one of them replaced, and I figured out that food was a major. Like I said, I ate junk. I was a middleweight in the Olympics, so mm-hmm. to be a heavyweight, I had to eat everything. I didn't know nutrition like that, so yeah. I just killed myself with all this junk food, and it caught up to me. I had neuropathy in my foot, very bad. I mean, I wanted to cut my foot off.
Oh, my God.
And I said, please cut it off at the leg. They couldn't cut it off because of phantom pain. And like, I never heard of phantom pain. They told me about phantom pain. I'm like, no, nah, I'm not going. Phantom pain is when you think you're in pain, but your foot, you think your foot there, but it's gone. And I'm like, no, nah, I'm not going through that. I don't have a foot, and I'm still in pain. You crazy? So that. Just it really that pain was so bad for so long. I had to do something, and one was changing my diet, and I changed big time.
I see that, and so obviously you do all the cooking instantaneously when you eat healthy. You feel better. Like, I try to tell this to people. I'm like, hey, listen, don't go worry about these crash diets, these fad diets. Eat healthy, eat clean. It changes everything from your sleep to, honestly, it helps with depression. It helps, they're saying maybe it helps with cancer and Alzheimer's, all that stuff. So what does your diet look like? Give me give me a couple days. What do you usually eat?
Vegetables, raw. You know, I rarely cook now. You see the cooking, those are healthy meals that, you know, I'm not really a cook. I have a friend that she can.
you lie on Instagram. It's like the Instagram reality thing, champ.
Yeah, but I had to put the food out there because that's the food that helped me get my life back. And I have a friend. Her name is Tammy Thomas. Tammy Garcia Bedard. And she's a great cook. She helped me get out of chronic pain. Like, I was bad. Like, real bad. And she helped me get out of chronic pain with cannabis. And that's a big one that, you know, a lot of people don't know about. And with cannabis, she helped me get my life back, and I'm forever grateful for her. And so she cooks all the meals on there. She a great vegan cook. I mean, a great vegan cook, but it looked like I'm doing it. I'm not.
So,
but it's good, though.
So you're not in pain anymore. Are you able to do any exercise in running? Are you still limping on it? Are you your old school Chris Bird? You can do whatever you want on that foot now.
I'm back.
Wow.
I'm coming back to boxing. Like, I'll giving myself I forgot, I'm trying to think of the word, but after I got his pain, I'm like, no, I'm going to win a world title. I'm going to show the world that I can come back from being, like my brother would say, he said, you come back from the dead.
Yeah, I mean, this is the resurrection of Chris Bird right now.
Oh, big time. Like, I'm healthy, I'm healing, I feel like a kid. Like, I feel, I got all this energy, I got my skills. I'm like, it's time to do this. I want to be the oldest champ. I've been boxing my whole life, so I really owe it to my mother and my father, who really put a lot into this boxing for me and my brothers. And I'm like, now I'm gonna win a world title at my age. And people think I'm too old. At first they said I was too small when I fought at heavyweight.
I remember that, of course.
Now they say I'm too old. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna show you. Like I showed you at heavyweight. I'm the little guy. All these big guys, I'm the little guy world champion. So now I'm the sick guy. I was a sick bird. Now I'm a healthy bird. So it's time to get it.
So you're training like a savage right now.
Training, you know, just keeping myself in shape. I'm not training like I was training like a madman at first. And then I had to calm it down. And now I'm good. I have offers, you know, to fight, you know, in certain places. So it's okay. Time to go get it.
Where are you living now?
Right now? I'm in Virginia, but I'm going to be back in San Diego. That's where that's my home.
How can you beat that?
Flint, Michigan is my home, my original home, but I love San Diego.
When you and I were texting, I'm going to ask you a question now, champ. Here we go. I'm going to name a few boxers. Let me know what they all have in common. You ready?
Yeah.
Muhammad Ali, you, Joe Frazier, Oscar De La Hoya, George Foreman, Sugar Ray Leonard, Roy Jones Jr., Pernell Whitaker, Floyd Patterson. Do you have any idea what they all have in common?
Woo. Olympic gold medalist.
They all were the Olympics, all medaled in the Olympics. You and I talked about this. Why on God's green earth are they trying to eliminate the Olympics in 2028 boxing? Why would they take it out? To add, what, more breakdancing? Please try – you're a boxer. This is your life. Why would they possibly do this?
I don't understand it. And when looking at it, when I first seen it, I'm like, really? That's all we – for boxing, the whole thing is Olympic.
The whole thing.
From the amateur system, mm-hmm. Everybody want to get to the Olympics. They don't even talk about pro. They talk about the Olympics. Now they got to take it away from these kids. I mean, this is your whole life. Like, these kids, what do they have to look forward to? The Olympics. You know, at least trying to make it. You know, I don't care if they don't even get out of their state. At least they having a chance to try to compete to get to a higher level, which is the highest level, the Olympics, and everybody dream of that, and they're going to take it away.
Is there reasoning why? That. Like, why would they take it away? Is there reasoning why they're doing this?
No, I don't. It's just, well, we want to eliminate. I guess they want to eliminate one of the sports, and they're looking at boxing like, okay, this is one of.
And they leave breakdancing in there.
Yes, You know, more power to breakdancing, but they shouldn't switch it for boxing, really? That's what it seems like they're doing.
And it's not in the same arena. You can have people breakdancing and have people boxing. It's been around for over 100 years. It's one of the staple things. When you think Olympics, it's boxing, maybe wrestling, the marathon. That's the Olympics. I want to talk about your Olympics.
Yes.
In 92. It means a lot to me, that one. Obviously more to you, but that was the dream team. I was 11 years old, 10 years old. That was the first Olympics that I watched. I remember opening ceremonies. I remember you guys had the Ralph Lauren outfits, the khaki pants, the blue jacket, the hat. Do you still have that outfit?
Oh, man, you still remember.
Of course, I remember that. It's etched in my mind. Do you still have that outfit?
I have the outfit somewhere. I know my father has everything. He's an Olympic coach, so he keeps everything neat, nice, in a case somewhere. I don't have I don't know what I have.
What do you remember about the opening ceremonies? Because I know now we watch the opening ceremonies, champ, and you'll see everyone with the cell phones out doing selfies. Were you around Jordan, Carl Lewis, Michael Johnson? Were you guys just hanging around, walking around, getting ready to get introduced in Barcelona?
Actually, honestly, our Olympic team didn't go to the our team didn't even go to the opening ceremony.
Why not?
Now, it was, we had some disagreements with the with the coaches and certain stuff. So we were like, no, we're not going.
What?
And we're in the boxing on the team, Danelle Nicholson, he stood up first. He said, if they didn't want the coaches to go, they didn't have the coach. I'm like, my father was head coach, and they didn't want the coaches to go. So he was like, our heavyweight on the team said, if Coach Bird not going, I'm not going. Then we all just was like, well, I'm not going. He said it before me, and I'm his son. Because I was like, I'm going.
Wow.
Yeah, so that really hurt, man. That really hurt not to be at the – we're actually outside watching the parade go on and the Olympians go by. We watched them. We were out there sitting. So we're like, man, this is some bull. But at the same time, whoever had the fight in that first night, because the first night was the next night.
Okay.
You know, they got to rest.
They did.
So – We take that as, okay, there must have been a way it's supposed to be.
That must have been a sign. You read now about how crazy the Olympic Villages is with the hooking up and the girls and everything. Was it a nice setup down there? A lot of girls? You're one of my best friends. Don't lie to me. How crazy was it?
It wasn't crazy for me.
Okay.
I don't think they could say that after the Olympics are over. Think about it. You're at the Olympics. This is something you waited for your whole life, and now you're going to go and mess it up when you go party and do all that stuff? I didn't do that. I was like, nah. I mean, they had, honestly, looking back now, they had parties going on. They had a lot of different stuff. We just didn't get into it, man. I was like, nah, this is too important.
You famously won a silver medal. The Cubans really, I just looked at it today. The Cubans dominated that boxing, yet they're not the greatest pros. How did they dominate so much in the Olympics?
You know, they had, you know, years of amateur boxing, had really good, you know, settled coaches like throughout the 4 years. Okay. or 8 years, or how many years they've been training for the Olympics. They had, you know, the same people there, and they understand boxing, you know. And in our situation, you have new guys come in, you got different coaches, you have different this. So it just, you know, and those guys were old. Like, some of those guys were like 30. For amateur boxing, you a dad. You like, man, that's an old man right there. So a lot of, like, Felix Sabon was in the Olympics. He was an older guy.
Yeah.
He was dominant. But he's a little bit older, so, you know, they have more experience, and it happens. But now we catch up.
Youngest of eight kids growing up. I know your sister was a champ. Playing other sports growing up, or was it just boxing for you?
For me, it was boxing. The eight kids, they played basketball, football. They ran track and field, volleyball, all that. I boxed. That's all I ever did was box. And I guess I was the only world champion in the family, so it worked out.
I just went on Wikipedia, champ, and you know, everything you read on the internet is true. And it says you started at 10 years old, 285 amateur fights, U.S. amateur champion. Did you just love fighting? Because 285 is an obscene number of fights. You just wanted to fight.
I had probably 285 amateur wins, but I had so many. I box. Boxing is my life. Like, I started off I was breastfed with a glove in my mother's hand. She held it. Everything was boxing. So I'm the youngest, and we just had me and my brother. He had more fights than me. My brother Patrick did, and everything was boxing.
Did you model your fight game after anyone? Now it's easy. Now you can go on YouTube. I want to fight like this one. Did you model your fighting after somebody?
No. Not at all. Oh. Honestly, and I watched so much boxing. It wasn't that many lefties. So, and I'm left-handed.
Yeah.
And, you know, growing up, they always converted the lefties to right-handed. So it wasn't really that many boxers I looked at, you know, got my kind of style. So I just came up, formed on this style, and took off with it.
I'm always curious because now you'll have, let's just use Top Rankin as an example. Tonight's the Olympic card. Seven guys who fought in the Olympics. You won a silver medal and famously didn't get offered a contract. It doesn't seem how that's possible. How did that even happen where you went unnoticed and unsigned after winning in probably one of the most watched Olympics ever because of the Dream Team? You win a silver medal. How don't you get an offer?
Still to this day, it really hurt. You know, I'm three-time U.S. champion. I've been to every single world tournament in amateur and then come out with a silver medal in Olympics. I didn't get not one offer, not one. And that hurt, man. I'm telling you, that's why I went to heavyweight. I'm not a heavyweight. I'm a middleweight.
Yeah.
And I said, forget this. I'm going to shock the world. If I ever fight, I'm fighting a heavyweight. And sure enough, everybody said I'm going to get killed. Yeah. You're going to get hurt. I'm like, watch. I'm going to show you.
Let me ask you this now, because how do you go pro then? What do you just say, hey, I'm going pro? How do you even get a fight? Because usually it's, hey, I'm using Golden Boy. Hey, I'm signing with Golden Boy. Are you fighting tonight, you know, at Atlantic City? How'd you even go pro and set up a fight when you weren't signed? How does that happen?
So what happened, my brother Patrick, he was in Olympic trials also.
Uh-huh.
He came to me and said, man, nothing's happening for it. I mean, literally, this is 6-7 months outside the Olympics. We have nothing happening. No offers, no anything. He goes out. He said, I'm going to go ask for some help with these businesses in our city. I'm Flint, Michigan. There's not that many big businesses there. And he went out and started asking, you know, business owners, can you help us out? You know, just with money, just anything. So he ran across a guy named Dave LeSage, man. And Dave LeSage owned a laminating business. And he met with my father and he said, we can start putting on shows here in Flint, Michigan. I was fighting at a nightclub.
Nightclub.
A nightclub. I came out of a nightclub, but that's where I started. I had my 7 fights at a nightclub, 7 or 8 fights at a nightclub.
How much were you getting paid to fight?
It went from there, got noticed. I got noticed. Somebody was seeing me fight. Okay, you can fight at this place. I fought at the Palace of Auburn Hills. I was fighting there. I was like, damn, I'm in the big arena. It wasn't hardly anybody there. When I was fighting, I was first fight. And then it just grew. They was like, this little heavyweight is beating all these big guys. So I started getting more offers to fight in different places. I'm thinking, man, this is getting bigger and bigger. I'm coming from a 250 people arena to the big arena.
How much did you get paid in the first few fights at the nightclub? How much is Chris Bird getting paid?
I got paid $600. I got paid $600. The most I made in the nightclub was $1,000 in my last fight. $1,000. Olympic silver medalist.
In a nightclub in Flint, Michigan. That's insane.
To be heavyweight champion. They talk about Rocky, movie. That's where I come from. But the ride.
Well, and that's because your ride, the roller coaster is you're 26-0, you lose to Ike. Mentally, how do you deal with that? Like, whoa, because you think you're invincible. Really, you just went to the Olympics, silver medal. Now you're 26-0. Mentally, how'd you deal with that first loss? Was that difficult for you?
Yeah, it was difficult, but man, when you come up through this boxing like I did, nothing can stop you. The goal is still a little dink, a little, you know, a little fender bender. That's what it was to me. Okay, jump back on it. I fought 5 weeks after I lost. I fought 5 weeks later. And the only reason it was 5 weeks because it was, you know, I was suspended for 4 weeks. So you're suspended if you get stopped in a fight for a month or two. So I was ready to go. I was like, okay, it's time to really get it. The goal is to be champion.
And I want to talk about the championship thing. But did you just see Ike got out of prison? He was in some legal matters. You see, he wants to fight again. He just got out. He just gave an interview like a week ago. He said,
We can do it again. Like, I'm coming back, like, I'm fighting again. I'll fight Ike again. I'll fight Vladimir Klitschko again. I'll fight them all.
Let's go to the Klitschko fight. It's famous. You know, you had under 10 days. Chris Bird, this little dude, is fighting a guy who literally no one went a few rounds. He knocked everyone out. Legit, every person he fought up to you was knocked out. Never went the distance with him. How'd that fight? Listen, I know, you know, everything happened. 10 days notice. How do you? What do you get? A phone call? Who calls your agent? Yeah. Hey, you want to go to Berlin and be a sheep for Klitschko? Because you were supposed to be just a throwaway fight. How did that fight even take place?
Yeah, it took place because of he was fighting Donovan Razor Reddick, and Razor Reddick pulled out. He got injured or a hernia or whatever, and they were like, call Chris Bird. He'll fight anybody. Like, and they literally, that's what they said. He'll fight anybody. And it was after my loss, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't even know who Klitschko is. I never seen him fight. I heard of the name. I heard of his brother Vladimir because he won a gold medal in 96 Olympics. I'm like, who is this? And then I look at his record. I'm like, 27-0 with 27 knockouts.
27 knockouts.
I'm like, damn. This is who I'm fighting? And this guy's 6'8", 250 pounds. I'm thinking, man, I'm going to get slaughtered. No, I wasn't thinking that. I'm sorry. But I was thinking that people going to think, because I just lost to Ike, man, mm-hmm. he's going to get killed.
Killed.
And I'm like, no, my defense is too much. Like, I'm always going to hang in every fight. I don't care. I can use my defense for anything. And when I got to Germany, they literally looked at me like, this kid's going to get murdered. Like,
murdered. It's not even a joke. People really thought that.
When I got in the ring, they laughed at me. You know, and the people said I'm going to get killed, and I hung in there. Like, I went, he had 27 knockouts, and I went the furthest anybody ever went, and he quit.
And so there's two things about that fight, champ, that always stick out to me. Number one, I'll tell you this. Number one, my mom has zero interest in sports. She doesn't like sports. It would be me, my dad, my brother. I remember watching that fight with my dad, and they showed the pre-stuff about your mom being in the corner, your mom being there. So my mom, you might be the only box my mom even knows or likes. Like, I can tell if Tyson's coming on. She's like, oh, okay. Chris Berchick. Oh, his mom. Like, my mom remembered your mom. That was cool. And then I remember that fight. And listen, he quit. And I remember he got more flack for quitting than you did for going 10 rounds with the guy who never went that long. And I'll tell you this. I was younger, and I'm like, Klitschko quit. Can you believe it? And my dad's like, yeah, but the American, because obviously we rooted for you. You were the American. He's like, the American went, no one's ever gone that far with Klitschko. Do you realize what he did? It was, and then afterwards, I'm like, oh, he's right. So everyone's like, oh, Klitschko quit. It's like, Bird went further than any fighter ever did with him, man. How crazy. Like, is that frustrating for you? You're not getting love for the silver medal. It's like, I just won the title. What else do I have to do?
Yeah, it's that's why I'm coming back. I wasn't a heavyweight. Think about it. I'm fighting Vladimir Klitschko, 250 pounds. I weigh 208 pounds full. I'm not a heavyweight.
No.
But I had to stay in this division because nobody wanted me. So I'm like, okay. And then I started fighting that heavyweight in the nightclub. I'm like, I'm going to stay here now.
How'd you celebrate winning the title? They put the belt on you. You're the heavyweight champion of the world. It is the highest honor. It's better than the Super Bowl. I'm the biggest baseball fan. You're the champ. You're the champ for the rest of your life. How do you celebrate that night in Germany?
Oh, man, it was. I wasn't a partier like that. You know, I didn't do none of that. But I celebrated with myself, like with me. Like, we all go to my room afterwards, and everybody in there, we have a ball. But for me, it was crazy because I always thought of the nightclub. The first thing I thought of when he quit was, man, I came from a nightclub. Nobody wanted me, and I'm heavyweight champion now. It's crazy.
As a fan, because you're always to see, oh, the champ's going to fight next, the champ's fighting next. Why did you have to go back to Germany? Wouldn't it be great to United States champion, just knocked off, let's be honest, just knocked off the Ukrainian guy. We're going to showcase you now in Vegas at Madison Square. Why'd you have to go back there and fight?
Man, politics, man. You know, just certain things. He's the cash cow. They didn't think I was going to win the title.
Of course not.
You know, and I had the promoter, even my promoters, they weren't ready for it. So now they're asking for a rematch, and they're still not ready. They're still compliant to what they want. And they wanted to go back to Germany. I'm not the promoter. Why would we go back there? but it's more money, of course. They're handing out more money, not thinking I was supposed to win anyway. This is a fluke, so he's going to get his butt whooped. And I fight Vladimir next and not Vitaly. I wanted to fight Vitaly again.
I shouldn't say that. I rewatched the fight. And afterwards, you should be going crazy in the ring. And I don't know if you remember what you said, but I loved it. You weren't going crazy. You weren't, you know, I'm this, I'm that. You're like, this is awesome. Now guys have to fight me. That's all you cared about in your crazy mind. You're like, now guys can't keep ducking me because you are a risky guy. If they beat Chris Bird, always, you know, you beat a smaller guy. But when you lose to Chris Bird, you have a lot to lose. That's why a lot of people were ducking you, right?
Yeah. No. Honestly, no. Hell no.
Okay.
Look, my defense, and you can ask all the boxers, you don't want to fight him. He's too good. Like, he'll make you miss. He'll make you think. See, when you get in the ring with me, you better – it's the test. If you didn't study for this test, you're going to fail. I'm telling you, I was the test for everybody.
And I
may have been small. I may not have been a big puncher. But just the way I maneuvered in the ring and figured out stuff, a lot of guys hated it.
I always loved your career because you're the champion of the world. Not everyone knew you, but you came on everyone's radar in Atlantic City when you beat Evander Holyfield. Like, you had to beat another person to do it. Now, I know you're not a party guy, but you're just in Atlantic City. Now you're a household name. The casual boxing fan knows Chris Bird because you beat Holyfield. And then you're beating David too. You have that war with Galata. Like, anyone you didn't fight that you really wanted to fight?
Lennox Lewis.
That's who you wanted. That was your white whale. You wanted to fight Lewis.
He was the man. He was the guy. So I'm number one in Lennox Lewis, and he doesn't want to fight me. So Evander Holyfield came up. That's why he was next. But it was Lennox Lewis. And if it was Tyson at the time, I would love to fight. Whoever the best is, I want to fight the best. I don't care about their reputation and how hard they hit and all that stuff. I don't care.
That's always a fan's biggest knock of boxing. You know, you watch UFC now. The two best guys are going to fight. They're putting it together. Boxing, it's always so frustrating. Like, dude, put Bird and Lewis. Put Manny Pacquiao with Mayweather. Stop making the fans wait so long. Thankfully, now there's people now trying to put these things together. When your name got heavy after winning the title, after beating Holyfield, who put those fights together? Like, is it your agent doing it? Are you saying, hey, guys, I want to fight Lewis? Put this together, and what, they come back and say he doesn't want to fight you?
Nah, it was who was that with? Don King. Yeah, it's you know, they have to agree, the you know, managers, the promoters, but at the same time, the boxer has the last say. So, like, if you really want to fight somebody and you're the cash cow, the main guy, you'll fight that guy. He didn't want to fight me. He couldn't deal with left-handed guys. He thought I was too tricky. So he was like, "Nah, I'm not. I'm who gives up the belt?" And then they put it where Don King gave him $1 million to not fight me. I'm like, really? Don King would really do that? Give him $1 million to not fight me? Like, I'm Mike Tyson, and he's protecting his cash cow. No, I wasn't the cash guy at the time. It was Lennox.
Boxing is a dirty sport, isn't it? It's a dirty sport.
Yeah, but you gotta love it.
That's why we keep coming back.
We know how shady, how we get robbed, how we do this, but it's for the love of the sport, man. A lot of the guys, you know, you make money and you get fame and all this stuff, but it's just for that passion, that love to be the best. For me, I want to be the best all the time.
And you're making a comeback now. Obviously, with the nutrition, all that stuff, it's way better. Can you just imagine? You said you were eating like crap being a heavyweight. Imagine having your diet and healthy and your knowledge of food now, 20 years ago when you were fighting, 15 years ago, because your recovery would have been through the roof, right?
My goodness. I had so many problems. I had so many problems, you know, when I was boxing, like, extreme fatigue. When I fought Jimmy Thunder, that was my first HBO fight. After that fight, they rushed me to the hospital. They rushed me to the hospital because I fell out in the locker room, and nobody knew what that was. I didn't even know what it was. Like, well, how did I fall out, man? I'm gone. Next thing you know, I'm in the hospital. I had that almost after every fight since that fight. I was sick. I was very sick. And imagine if I had no nutrition then, how I know it now. How I know it now would have been totally different.
So listen, you talked about the comeback. Let's realistically, when do you plan on fighting? I know you said you had some offers. When do you think you're going to be in the ring again?
Probably January.
Really?
January or February? Yes. Oh, really? Like, this is no joke. Like, I'm 54 years old. 54. I'm not coming back to embarrass myself like I did when I did at light heavyweight. No, I'm coming back to win a world title. Like, for real. This is serious. Like, I'm so healthy. I feel so young. I feel so good. Might as well get it in.
And where do you think you'll be fighting?
New Zealand. Right now. As of now.
Really?
Yes.
The comeback resurrection tour starts in New Zealand.
Yes. And everybody going to hear about it. Then they're going to be, oh, I want to say the word.
Say, oh, shit, baby. Oh, shit. Chris Bird's coming back.
Oh, shit. He's back. And probably better than he was in his first career.
Because now you're in there fighting. Now you're like, I'm a smart boxer. I know the game. I know how to take care of myself. I know what I need to do. How exciting is that?
But, yes, that's very exciting. But the main thing is my nickname in boxing is Healthy Bird. I'm healthy. I wasn't healthy, man. I broke out in hives. I had extreme fatigue. I had dizziness. I had all this stuff. Before the fight, I'm going through all this stuff, man. And I didn't know how my body was working. The food was killing me. So now I'm back.
Back to your food. You don't eat meat. You don't eat meat, right?
No, I don't eat meat, wheat, dairy, sugar. I don't eat none of that stuff. I try to stay away from, you know, any added sugar stuff. You know, in certain stuff, if I don't read the ingredient, if I don't read it, I get mad. I'm like, damn, this don't taste too good. So I know what it is.
You know,
I can't eat that. I'm just against it, man. For my body.
I'm with you. Body. I'm the same way. Listen, champ, I've kept you 35 minutes on a Sunday. Are you ready to finish up with some quick hit questions?
Yeah, let's get it.
You come to New York. You're in New York, about to fight at the Garden. You want to impress everyone in New York. Who's the coolest person in your phone that if you texted them, they would text you back?
Okay, I got a name.
Who?
Can you hear me?
Yeah,
probably Mario Lopez.
Bro, that's a huge name.
Yeah, probably him.
Don't play it down. He's that's a cool real guy. Cool name.
Yeah, I probably would name if I put my name drop, of course.
That's a good name drop. All right, four more. Coolest piece of memorabilia that you own? You got the silver medal. You got the title belt. What's the coolest piece of memorabilia that you have?
Probably my Olympic sweatsuit.
Oh, do you ever rock it?
Nah, I never rock it. Nah, it's in a case, and it's it's the Olympic flag. It's the U.S. flag. It's the most memorable. They even bigger than any of the world title belts. Olympics is everything.
Everything. How about this one? Last two. Last show you binged watched. What was the last show Chris Bird sat on the couch and just watched the whole show? What show do you watch?
Probably Naked and Afraid.
All right, that's a good. How about this one? Here we go. You made money boxing. You got paid. What was the dumbest purchase you ever made? You look back now and you're like, why the hell did I buy that?
Probably the houses I bought.
Ah, why is that a bad purchase, though? Why?
Because it was overspending too much money, thinking, okay, excuse me, I'm the champ now. I was with Don King, though.
So oh, no, this is why.
I'm thinking I'm going to make the money like that I was supposed to make, and I didn't, and man, that stuff backfires on you, and you're like, man, what? Because I'm world champion, I think I watched, you know, too many Rocky movies or something. So I had to get the nice house. I had everybody used to come over my house all the time, though. I lived in Vegas, and everybody would come over on the weekends, man, have parties all the time, have people. I mean, it was laid out, and then you look up, you're like, man, I'm spending money that I shouldn't be spending on all this stuff. I think my husband got me a little small house. Let me just chill. But no, I had to be the champ. And you spend all kind of money, and you look up, you're like, man, give me that money back.
I am anxiously looking forward to the new year now, because I'm dying to see you fight. Here's the rule, though. If you fight anywhere on the East Coast, or forget it, anywhere in the United States, I'm going to come. I will be there for you, support you. This has been so much fun to do. I'm so proud of watching you, because I remember watching the fight with my dad, watching you become champion of the world. Then I remember watching you, beating Holyfield and then fading out. Never knew you were so sick. When I saw you back on Instagram, not cooking, but having the good food in front of you, seeing all that and seeing the transformation from random fighter to what you are now, inspiring people. Dude, it's such an awesome thing to watch as a fan. I've been wanting to have you on forever, so this was a pleasure. We have to keep in touch. And when you start winning again and fighting for the title, don't forget me, because we have to do this again, brother.
No, we have to do this again, definitely.
When you're part of a military family, you understand sacrifice and support. So at American Public University, we honor your dedication by extending our military tuition savings to your extended family. Parents, spouses, legal partners, siblings, and dependents all qualify for APU's preferred military rate of just $250 per credit hour for undergraduate and master's level programs. American Public University. Value for the whole family. Learn more at apu.apus.edu/military.